Welcome to another episode of Overasked. Today we have industry sensation, I would say. Glenda Baker is with us today. Glenda, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey guys, I'm excited to be here.
Amazing. So we always start the episodes like this. For people who may not know you, can you give us your elevator pitch? Who is Glenda Baker?
Oh, my stars and stripes. Okay, so my name is Glenda Baker. I'm a real estate agent in Atlanta, Georgia. I have been selling real estate since Jesus was a baby. So almost 29 years. Obviously, I started when I was 12, but I have been in real estate in Atlanta forever. My mom worked for a builder developer. And so I really feel like I have red clay running through my veins.
That's amazing. I said right before we started recording, you have such a contagious energy. I understand why you are so successful in this business, because I want you to be my real estate agent, and I'm a real estate agent. So already, that's incredible.
I love it.
So you're number 70, you're 74 top team in the world. Is that correct?
Yeah. For Berkshire Hathaway. The last time I used to be with Berkshire Hathaway, and when they did their awards, I was number 74 in the world.
Jesus. And that's your team?
My team, three ladies. I run an all-female team here in Atlanta. Me, Elizabeth, and Eveline. Tiffany is the glue that holds us together. And then I have a client experience liaison that helps me with all of my gifting and creating an amazing and unforgettable client experience.
Wow.
Hey, I might be top 74 in my specific office. So that is quite the accomplishment.
But you know, I hate numbers. I hate that. I'm number one here. I'm number one there. I'm number six. I'm number 74. Really, like, the only thing the buyer and the seller care about is that you find them their dream home or you sell their house. They could care less what number you are. And you know, I always laugh and say, you know, because like February, March, that's awards season in Atlanta. That's when all of the broker awards come out. And you know, like, they talk about GCI and they talk about volume, and you know, you wonder why the consumer has this idea and this image of real estate agents, because there's so much money connected and so many agents talk about it with such vanity. And really, in all honesty, for me, and I even have a piece that talks about it, who's really number one? Our clients, because that's really what we focus on. So while that all sounds all spiffy and shiny to say I'm number 74, number six, who cares? As long as I can find them their dream home or sell your house, that's all you care about.
That's unreal. I mean, then now you're being very humble about it. If I was number 74 in the world in anything, so I would not give
to your face.
Yeah, I would not give my clients any recognition. That would be exactly tattooed on my face. How did you get there? You started TikTok and stuff pretty recently.
Yes.
So, I mean, and we'll get into that, but before all the social stuff, what were you doing to get this business?
So about 63 to 67% of my business is past client and sphere of influence. So, you know, I never meet a stranger. I love real estate. So I always talk about it with passion. But just the other day, I was in the grocery store, and of course, the lady at the register says, "Hello, how are you doing?" And I say the same thing no matter where I am, living the dream, selling houses every day. And the lady behind me says, "Oh, you're in real estate?" I said, "I am in real estate." She goes, "You know what? We're thinking about putting our house on the market." I said, "Oh, my stars and stripes, really?" I said, "Do you have a real estate agent?" She goes, "No, we don't have a real estate agent." I said, "I'd love the opportunity to talk to you about real estate because I've got people standing in line to buy houses." And she's like, "Great, do you have a business card?" And I'm like, "Oh, my stars and stripes, I don't have a business card. I put my last one at the house that I just showed. Let me do this. What is your cell phone number? I will text you my contact card." So I've already got her contact information. So if I gave her my business card, I can't then turn around and say, "Oh, what's your phone number? That looks so 1980. So I always say, "Oh, I don't have a business card," because I never, ever have a business card. I say, "What's your phone number?" And then I text them my contact card, and then I hop in my car and I make copious notes about the conversation that I just had with them.
You did that all just standing in line in a grocery store?
Yeah.
That's more lead generation than I've done in a year. This is Very impressive. Also, I like that tagline. Whenever anybody asks you, because you said the same thing to us before we started recording, we said, hey, how are you doing? And you said, selling houses.
Living the dream, selling houses every day. Because that's the truth. Like, I am living my dream. And I am hoping that I sell a house every day. And I sell a truckload of houses. So it's almost the truth. So, I mean, if you said every work day, I sell a house almost every single work day. But anyway, I digress. So really, it gets people started thinking about real estate because everybody wants to know about the real estate market. So when I say selling, living the dream, selling houses every day, they're all automatically, oh, you're in real estate. I am in real estate. And then it just starts that conversation very organically.
Is this something that you recently came up with, or how long have you been saying this?
Forever. Like, I have these little Glendaisms. They're silly. You know, I'm from the South. I'm from Atlanta. Well, I'm originally from Chattanooga, which is like 121 miles north of Atlanta. So I'm originally from Chattanooga, but I have these little Glendaisms. So one of my favorite is, the road is paved with dead squirrels that fail to make a decision. Don't be roadkill. And oh my stars, that's another one. But I have these little Glendaisms and they just come out. Like, I can't even like contain them. So I just always say that, no matter where I am, if I'm at the grocery store, the McDonald's, the Chick-fil-A, wherever I am, I just say, living the dream, selling houses every day. And now it's so funny because at the Publix, the lady knows, Barbara knows. She's like, hey, Ms. Baker, you're living the dream, selling houses every day, aren't you? And so she even announces it for me. And who do you think that Barbara's going to think about when she thinks about real estate?
Yeah.
So it's like, it all connects the dots.
That's unreal. I need to be maybe more approachable in grocery stores. I'm going to try your script in a grocery store and I'll get back to you. I'll let you
know.
You
need a tagline like that too.
I know. Well, I'm going to start with Glenda's tagline.
Yeah.
Because I'm in Toronto, you know, you're,
yeah.
And if you ever came to, you know, you're good.
You feel free to use that, you know, but I also sold 27 houses when I was on match.com. So, I mean, I'm really good at like lead generation organically, I think.
Yeah. I would say so. I get most of my business comes from sphere of influence and social media. But I've never tried this grow. I'm actually very intrigued by that story. I'm going to try some stuff. It's hard with the mask, you know, can't really get a.
Oh, but you'll get rid of that mask soon. Here in Georgia, it's rifles and rednecks. We haven't had a mask since, goodness gracious, May of 2020.
That's awesome. I'm in Toronto. We're still in lockdown, and Erickson, the only place in America that I think is still kind of locked down.
We're open back up a little here. But I just stay in my apartment anyway.
So yeah. Well, that's amazing. So I was telling Eric before this, you remind me, and this is a compliment because I love her so much. You may have got this before, but Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side.
That is like my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, good.
Thank God.
And you know what? Like, I love her. I love
so
her.
So do I.
I mean, it's hilarious because I always say to my son, come over here, give me a proper hug. Come over here, give me a kiss. I always say that. I love that movie. I bet you I've watched that movie 100 times. But you were right. I have heard this before. And oh, my stars, you're not going to believe this. So I'm in the line at this buffet table. And I turn around and the lady, and I said, oh, excuse me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know that lady. And I turned back around and it was the investigator for the NCAA, Sharon Conley, the actress that played the investigator on Blindside.
Wow. Oh, really?
I was right down.
She probably thought it was Sandra Bullock. She was like,
no, she didn't. Me that I looked like her, but you know what, she's a real estate agent here in Atlanta.
Oh really?
Along with her, that's like her side gig, you know. She's really a big time actress, but she has a real estate license here in Atlanta.
Oh, that's awesome. That's unreal.
Little fact we didn't know. Go ahead.
Well, that's unreal. That's one of my favorite movies. I absolutely love Sandra Bullock, so I wanted to tell you that because that's unreal. Are you a big Zac Brown Band fan?
Of course. Hello. Yeah. Okay.
Just want to check that. Yeah. I love them too. Atlanta, Georgia,
you know,
another
I love them. Rappers too. I love rap music. So
who's your favorite rapper?
21 Savage.
Nice.
Yeah, but Atlanta. You know, I've met Offset and Cardi B. I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of really cool people. And you know, it's really interesting because a lot of people say, oh, she's the realtor to the rappers. And you think, like, here's this middle-aged real estate agent in Atlanta, Georgia. Why are they working with her? And, you know, it's funny because I think that, especially, I was talking with a client the other day, and he's like, you know, Glenda, you see my vision and you want to help get me to my goals. And I think that it doesn't matter what walk of life you're from. If you feel that type of alignment with someone that has your largest single asset, that's critical. That's really, really what's crucial in the real estate transaction. So I think that that's why a lot of those people work with me, because I can see their vision and I can help them with their goals.
Yeah, that's incredible. I was actually just going to ask you about that. What is your average price point where you're at for you?
So $713,000 is my average price.
Okay. Okay. So that's, and you do, but you do like some bigger celebrities and stuff in Atlanta, Georgia.
I do $900 rentals. I do $5 million houses. All the money is green and everybody has a dream. And you know, that's the thing is like, you know, like this, I had this one very big client. They originally called me on $35,000 like crack houses.
Yeah.
And I had no idea who it was. I didn't know who the client was. The business manager called me and said, look, we want to buy these, you know, little houses. I want him to stop by and watch us. And I'm like, okay. So no lie, I lined up all these little crack houses for them to go see. And she told me that she interviewed three agents and that I was one of them. And that the other two agents refused to help with those investment properties. That all they were interested in was the primary residence. And I think that, and she didn't like that. She was like, wait a minute, you want the good stuff, but you don't want to deal with the little stuff. But for me, I just got us the car service. I got us the bodyguard. And we went and looked at all those investment properties. We were good to go. And they loved that. And I came up with an investment strategy that was something that they had not thought of. And she's like, are you like, what kind of degree do you have? And I'm like, honey, I barely got out of high school. I mean, you know, that's the thing is like, I've been selling real estate so long, I can figure out anything to do with a house or property, but it's all that other stuff. That's not my area of expertise.
Yeah.
So it said, I was reading your bio and it said you had a marketing background as well. Did that come from working for a team in residential real estate, or what'd you do before you got your license? Cause your marketing is incredible on TikTok and Reels, which we'll get into. So it's really impressive what you've done on social media, just from what we've seen.
Well, Eric, thank you so much. So my marketing background, I used to design and manufacture ladies clothing here in Atlanta, but I barely got out of high school. So no lie, that little bio that you read is the majority of that is from 1992. So I said, what do people look for in a real estate agent? They look for somebody that can network and somebody that can market. Yeah. So I used those two words and came up with some little spiel. And I've kept it this whole entire time because I love marketing. Like I remember I went to my broker. I said, hey, I'm going to put my picture on my stationery. And she goes, oh no, we don't do that. And I'm like, no. People become familiar with your photo. And it was black and white. In 1992, you didn't even print it in color. It was black and white. Wow. Y'all, I'm like a dinosaur. But it didn't matter because the thing about it is that people do business with people they know, and your picture makes them feel like they know you. That's why I love social media and I love video, because think about it. Like you feel like you know me because you can see me and you can hear me. And I think that that's one thing about Clubhouse, TikTok, Instagram. Like you feel like you know the person because you've seen so much of their content. And I think that if you can win the content war, that's like the foot in the door for real estate. Of course, you've got to prove yourself, but you got to get your foot in the door. And I think that social media is an amazing way to do that. Yeah. So no, I don't have any formal marketing background. That was just kind of smoke.
100%. I say that all the time. A lot of my business comes from just me doing videos, people seeing me, feeling like I'm genuine. That's a lot of the messages I get. Hey, we feel like you're just, you know, genuine. You're not going to try and sell us on a bunch of shit. And that's how I start a lot of conversations. And that's what social does. You want to start conversations. You don't have to sell all the time. I think people mistake that a lot on social media. Like they always have to show their wins and their selling. But a lot of stuff you do is just, I love the video you did a couple weeks ago on the home inspection with the home inspector said you had rats and you're like, call it wildlife.
And the inspections are the bane of your existence.
Yeah.
The way you introduce your videos, it's like you're mid conversation So right off the bat, you're already kind of telling a story. So the second the video clicks on, the captions are there, there's music that introduces it. It's super high quality. And yeah, as Matt was saying, we love that inspection video. It's so raw and
so
funny.
Good.
But it's the truth. I mean, think about it. Like, a rat is gross. Like, if you thought about rats, you'd be like, oh, just completely repelled. But if I said wildlife, you think Bambi.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all in the packaging.
Exactly.
And so that's the, I mean, you wouldn't even care if the wildlife was Bambi. You'd rather have Bambi in the house than a damn rat. That's what I don't understand. So I was, my head spun around, snot flew out of my nose with that guy. But anyway, yeah. I digress. Go ahead.
It's just so, it's so good. Exactly what you were saying before too. Like, people want to work with people that they know. And that's, you know, what I think a lot of people miss a lot of the time, because people want to work with friends. And then people always tell me, they'll be like, well, Matt, like, if you're working with a friend, then you're not going to be able to really, you know, tell someone how you feel, tell your client how you feel. And I always say, like, your real friends are going to tell you if you have something in your teeth, you know,
right.
A stranger is not going to do that. So if you can build that connection with your client, you're going to say, no, you know, we're way off on the price here. You need to price here. You need to do this. And you do that perfectly. You're one of my favorite real estate agents on social. And I just dove in the last couple of days on your content. And it's so good, because that's exactly what you do. You just sit in front of a camera and you're so, I just want to talk to you. I want to talk. Like I said, I want you to sell me a house, and I buy houses. I'm sure my wife would feel the same way.
I love it. But you know, conversion happens in conversation. And for me, I'm really good at conversation. When I started the video thing, I was like talking to the camera and I was like, oh my God, this is so terrible. I can't do this. And so it was Denver who said, hey, why don't you look at Sam? Why don't you talk to Sam? Because then that way you'll feel like you're in conversation with somebody. And I'm like, okay. Because I was looking at this blank chair and that was definitely not working.
Yeah.
So we just put Sam in the chair, and now literally Sam and I, we cut up like you cannot believe. It's hilarious. I'm going to post some more bloopers tomorrow. Oh my God. It's hilarious. I cannot believe all the bad words I say.
What you're referring to is you're not actually looking at the camera. You know, Byron,
I'm looking over here.
Right.
I'm
so
looking at Sam.
That's why it feels like you're within mid conversation, because you're basically jumping into a conversation with somebody else. So that tactic is really effective, because it can be awkward if you're just looking in the camera.
And it's,
so I was wondering why there was something so unique about those videos.
The thing is though, it's effective, and it's everything you hear people say. Everyone says one thing with video, you got to look into the camera. You got to look into the camera. You don't have to do anything you don't fucking want to do. You could do whatever you want, and you just showed that works. You're not looking at the camera at all. You're having a conversation with somebody else, and we still all feel so connected to that conversation.
Well, you know, I stole that from that Matthew Hussey, that dating guy. So I love to consume content on TikTok, and he kept popping up on my TikTok, and I was so like enthralled with what he was talking, because I felt like I was a fly on the wall. I felt like, oh, he's having like a secret conversation. He's having an intimate conversation with somebody, and I'm getting to listen. And I just loved like that feeling. Like, it really drew me in. And I was like, so I told Denver, I said, this is how I want to do it. So first the chair was empty, and then we put Sam in it. And that just changed the whole dynamic of it. But I think you're right. It's that mid conversation. You're getting to listen in. It's like, you're like eavesdropping. And I think that's what keeps the viewer engaged, because the majority of my videos, so I look at all of the analytics on them, and the majority of my videos have over 60% of watch time. So they're watching more than half of the video. And so for me, that's what's really critical, is I don't want like just the swipe. I'm looking for somebody to stay. And this is the other thing that's really interesting. So I had this one video, well, I have a few that have several million views, but I had this one that has almost 8 million views. That, so you're thinking, okay, so her views went up 8 million, but my views didn't go up 8 million. My views went up 13 million, because they came in on that video, but then they went to all the other videos and watched it. And like right now, if you have, so I do hashtag Linda Baker. That gives me the cumulative number of views across all of my videos. And then I also do hashtag Atlanta Real Estate. So Atlanta Real Estate has 35.5 million views, the hashtag Atlanta Real Estate. 28 million of those views are me.
Wow. Is this on TikTok or Reels?
On TikTok. So if you search hashtag Atlanta Real Estate, almost all of the page is my videos.
If somebody's looking
for Atlanta Real Estate, who do you think they're calling?
Yeah. That's
great. So how did you start doing these videos on TikTok and Instagram? Like what started? Because I noticed you were doing IGTVs beforehand. And how did you find out that you were so good at video? And when did you jump on the social media train? Because you were already a successful agent before all this. So what made you kind of double down with social media? Sorry to interrupt this riveting conversation, but Matt and I have a very important announcement and could not wait until the end of this episode. Matt, why don't you tell me?
Well, this is for anyone who has more than one client. Okay. So fortunately, Eric, you're out. You can go grab a coffee. But you know, top producers in this industry, they do things differently. The best of the best do things differently. Yes. And they start by partnering with Boomtown. Do you know what Boomtown is, Eric?
Of course I know what Boomtown is.
Well,
what, am I an idiot?
I don't know, but the top user rated real estate CRM. Okay. It's all of the tech tools and support you need to generate and convert conversation ready leads. Okay. Something you are completely unaware of.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. In flexible packages designed to grow with you, run your business smarter with the number one real estate CRM that agents actually use. To check out Boomtown and see how you can score $750 in free digital advertising, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
Train, because you were already a successful agent before all this. So what made you kind of double down with social media?
So it started with these posts from the Porsche. So I have this Porsche Panamera. And so I would be in the moment, the inspector, the lender, you know, I'd look at some nasty house, whatever, and I would get in my car and I would just want to talk to somebody about it. Like I would want to get it off my chest. So I would go live on Facebook and it started getting like some momentum and people would be like, oh, you do the post from the Porsche. Oh, I've seen your post from the Porsche. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. So in February of 2020, I met with a guy that does, like brand building. And he said, you know, Glenda, you're really good on video. I'd love to see you get on TikTok. I'd love to see you do more Instagram stories. I'd love to see you do more IGTV. And I was like, okay. And then I reached out to a videographer and the pandemic hit. And I was like, oh, thank goodness I didn't hire that videographer. And then we got to like August and I knew nobody was, you know, not everybody in the world was going to die. So I was like, okay, so I think I'm going to do that video thing. So I reached out to this videographer that I had seen on Instagram. And I told him, I said, I'm serious. I want to get started. And he's like, okay. And so sure enough, I booked it. I signed a contract and I doubled down on it because I kept getting great feedback and I could see the engagement. I could see, touch and feel the tangible of the video. And I could see that people were responding to me. And so I think that instant hit was what really kind of pulled me in. And I knew how I was consuming content. I knew how I was looking at it. So I knew if I was doing it, and here I am a 54-year-old woman in Atlanta, Georgia, if this is how I'm consuming content, I knew that my contemporaries were consuming it that way as well.
And you have so many great videos. Are you bulk producing? Like, do you sit down and film a bunch at once, or are these kind of spur of the moment?
So all of my live video is spur of the moment. So I have posts from the Porsche, live from the living room, opinions from the office, and dish from the dining room. So that's my four live series across Facebook and Instagram. But the majority of all of my TikTok and all of my Reels are produced content. And we take one day a month, we batch shoot. So Denver gets here at 7 and he sets up from 7 to 8:10. I have a call to greatness at 8 a.m. every morning. So I'm on that call till 8:10. From 8:10 to 8:30, we frame out the day. Like, how are we going to, like, what content is going to go on what platform, what we're going to shoot. And then at 8:30, we shoot from 8:30 to 11:30. All of that is TikTok. And then from 11:30 to 12:30, we take a lunch break. And then I start back up at 1 o'clock and I do LinkedIn reels, some Glenda show and some longer form content in the afternoon. So it's 11 hours, typically 10 to 11 hours, one day a month.
Wow.
And it's all shot here at my house, or the majority of it is all shot here at my house.
Super organized. I mean, that's a lot. I think a lot of people need to hear that because they can't, like, the way I post and the way Eric posts, well, Eric posts every single day, so he has this sort of a different thing he does. But the way I post is I just, like, have my video I'm going to do that week. And then I time block that time to do the video and then when to post it. But a lot of people don't like doing that. They want to have their content in bulk, and that's such a good way to do it. I think, yeah, a lot of people.
You're a media company. You're producing it on every platform, filming it in, you know, different ways and having, like, the specific video and captions for each platform, for LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. That's really impressive because you want to hit where everybody is, right? Yeah. So, like, not everybody's going to be on TikTok, the younger audiences. Not everybody's going to be on LinkedIn. So you're just mass producing, getting your name out there everywhere.
Well, and you've got to package it differently. You can take the same message, but think about it. You're not going to wear a cocktail dress to a basketball game. Or most people aren't. So the thing about it is that, like, my TikTok, it's a little sassy. It's a little spicy. Whereas and some people say that I can put that on LinkedIn. I typically don't put it on LinkedIn because I feel like LinkedIn is a little bit more buttoned up, a little bit more conservative. So it's the same content, but so I've got my black cocktail dress on at TikTok, and then I've got my black suit on LinkedIn. So that's why I say it's the packaging, because I want the audience to respond to it. The content is all the same and it's all authentically me. I just wouldn't wear a cocktail dress to the basketball game. And I want to be respectful of each platform because I'm looking to get the person that's on that platform engaged. For me, Facebook is where they already know, like, and trust me. Instagram is where they've heard of me. And TikTok, they have no idea who I am, but they want more of me. So that's kind of how I dissect those three. And then LinkedIn is very intimidating for me. And that's the platform that I've done the least on, that I am trying to kind of redirect and focus more attention on, just because I'm extremely intimidated by that platform, because I feel like everybody there is, like, super smart and they got, like, this pedigree of, you know, college and PhD and master's degree and all that stuff. And that's not me. So I've always been a little bit intimidated by that, but I have to tell you, the first few videos that I have put there have had great response from some really, like, fancy people. So I'm excited about it.
What about YouTube?
I have all of my content. It gets housed on YouTube. Denver really helps me store everything over there just because it doesn't require, like, my sassy caption, because I really want all of the captions in the social media to feel like me because I write them all. I do all of the hashtags. Denver helps me with YouTube because if it was up to me, that's my least favorite place because I don't consume long form content. So for me, it's always so weird. Like, why would you sit there and watch that? Because it just didn't make any sense to me. But my daughter watches everything on YouTube. Like, it's insane to me. And she's 29. So I let Denver handle that side. I stay in my lane and he stays in his. And that's why we have a great relationship.
Yeah. Sounds like you got it super, super, like, laid out. Is your TikToks and your Reels just the same thing? Do you just?
No.
Okay. They're different as
well. They're not. So Reels is Glenda Goes Off. So that's my series where I'm like, where I typically take a Glendaism, like the road is paved with dead squirrels that failed to make a decision. Don't be roadkill. If you sleep on it, you may not sleep in it. So that's kind of where I kind of rant. It's a little ranty. Because I think that audience is looking for something a little bit different than my TikTok audience. My TikTok audience, though, I have to tell you, I have been like, So I look through the people that follow me. And I'm trying to find like this common thread that weaves through these people. And there isn't one. Like I keep thinking like, are they 18 to 24? Are they 34 to 44? Are they women? Are they men? Are they this? Are they that? I cannot find any common thread. And it's insane to me. Like this country music guy commented on my video. I nearly had a nervous breakdown. Like I watch him. It's great. And then y'all might not have heard this. Oh gosh. Grant Cardone got a little sideways with me. That video, I've taken what? So much heat. Thing. Oh my.
Which video?
So it's a video. So he made a video about that when Corona hit, he had $1.4 billion in debt. Mm-hmm. And that six banks called him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the only time that the bank has ever called me is when I didn't make my payments. I mean, they don't typically just call me to shoot the bull. And so in this video, it just talks about the debt. It doesn't talk about anything else. And so in my video, I was asking, like, are you really like, is it $1.4 billion in debt? Or is that your net? Like unpack it. And so he got wind of it and actually kind of called me out on Clubhouse. But I wasn't throwing shade at him. What I was trying to do was I was trying to understand, because he has such a huge following. And if you tell the average Joe to leverage all of your investment property to the hilt, like, is that a really great strategy? Because, you know, the average Joe, he has his primary and he may have 1, 2, 3, 5 investment properties. And if his tenants aren't making the payments, he's at the mercy of the bank because what he owes is insignificant to the bank. But if you owe $1.4 billion to the bank is at your mercy because they can't afford to take that back on their debt sheet. So I just wanted to get some clarity around it. And boy, those little Cardonia nights, they just came after me like,
you know. Oh, those followers are, they yeah. are loyal. They're so, loyal, but you must be doing something right if Grant Cardone is catching wind of what you're doing.
So. Was this a duet?
Well, he sent me a DM on Instagram and I nearly died. Oh, I nearly God. Passed straight damn out. And his marketing person sent me a DM about it as well. And I'm like, look, I'm not throwing shade. I just want more clarity. I just want to understand the business model. And I want you to explain the business model that you're advocating yeah. to your followers, because I don't want them to think like, oh, I can be like whoever and gather all this debt against my investment properties and no, it won't be a problem, because there's never a problem until there's a problem. So I was a little bit worked up, a little bit whacked out about that. That scared the hell out of me. He came in that Clubhouse room and I was like, gosh, like this is a huge problem. And he goes, oh, I hear there's a lady in here that wants to punch me in the face. Because I said, he's got this great energy, but if I was married to him, it would drive me crazy. I might punch him in the face. Yeah. And so, you know, he does. He's got this great energy that's electric, but sometimes it's just a little too much.
Yeah.
Was this a duet you made of content? No. Or so did you make a video about the $1.4 billion in debt, or how did this even start?
I said, I'm talking to Denver. So mm-hmm. we're sitting here shooting the TikTok video. And I said, don't let me forget. I want to talk about Grant Cardone. And I said, he released this video about this $1.4 billion in debt. So, you know, Denver puts it together and I post it on TikTok, and all of these verified people, I guess, that are like his followers, like started like tagging him in it. And so they perceived it as me throwing shade, but it wasn't really about that. I just was trying to unpack and understand, because think about it. If you said, oh, I had $1.4 billion in debt. Well, do you have $1.4 billion? Like, that's your net sheet? Like, holy crap, that scares the hell out of me. But if you had said, I have a gazillion dollars in real estate and $1.4 billion of it is debt, that's a completely different video, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's what I was trying to understand. But anyway, it's always fun. And then I talked about another financial planner, but I didn't mention his name, thank goodness. I was thinking I probably shouldn't have mentioned that one. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Cardone's a great way to get views, because there were so many YouTubers making videos on Grant Cardone, especially during the beginning of the pandemic about him laying off workers, or if his private jet was real or not real, but if he was financing it, or I don't even remember the exact context of it, but.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't calling into question anything. I was just trying to understand, like, you can't say that, but I didn't even do it to get followers. I didn't even think about that. But that 8 million video had happened before that I released that video. And so it was just a little bit crazy. Yeah. Anyway, that was
Nothing wrong with asking questions. I mean, that's all you were doing. You're just trying to get some more information.
Exactly.
We got your back, Glenda, always.
Thank you. Yeah,
we'll fight the Cardinites for
you.
Yeah,
we'll fight them all. We'll be in the comments.
In that room, a lot of people knew about the video. So it was so funny because I was getting all these DMs on the back channel that was saying, the Glitteratis have your back. Don't worry, we've got your back. And I was thinking to myself, holy shit, I'm probably going to need it.
Well, we always got your back. Are you like famous in Atlanta? You seem like you're kind of like famous in the real estate world. You're very humble. So you can say you're like a famous real estate agent.
So y'all, I have started getting recognized. And so it's a little bit strange to me because I just can't even imagine that somebody would recognize me. But I went to the Atlanta United game and got stopped a few times. We were at the St. Regis I was with my team and we got stopped. So it's a little bit strange. I mean, people have always kind of known about me in the real estate industry just because I wear a lot of sparkle. I wear a lot of stars. I give these cakes for closing. I do these cookies with a picture of the house on them. So I hope that I have created a memorable brand within the real estate industry in my community. So it's a little bit different that people are kind of recognizing me that aren't real estate agents, but it's really very cool. But again, I keep thinking to myself, like I'm a middle-aged real estate agent in Atlanta, Georgia. Like, who wants to watch me? But I've got like 4 million hearts and like almost 30 million views. So somebody's watching me.
Yeah.
For perspective, you have 300,000 plus followers on TikTok, videos getting millions and millions of views. Instagram, you're on, 45,000. So that's a massive reach. So, Matt's just a little jealous that he's not getting recognized, I think.
I'm in lockdown, so
right.
Who knows? I have been recognized a couple times actually from a Freddie Mercury video. Thank you very much. Only if I have the mustache and no mask. But I will say, you got to respect, I really respect everything you're doing because most of my following is Instagram. Well, everything I do is Instagram based, and to be so consistent on multiple platforms and to get traction on all those platforms. I cannot crack the TikTok game. So good on you. It's incredible.
Tomorrow, 3 million dollars. What day is today? Wednesday. I have a listing appointment tomorrow, $3 million that came just from TikTok.
Yeah. See, that's incredible.
That is.
Those stories that you hear and we are saying this on another episode, you can use your insights from all your videos now in appointments. Like, oh yeah, this real estate agent's going to do this, but are they going to give you this much exposure? Because,
right.
9 out of 10 times, no, you're probably the only one in Atlanta who's getting that exposure. I would say.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. That's for sure.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Like I said, I love what you're doing. Eric loves what you're doing.
Yes, I do.
Love what you're doing.
Speaking for me, but yes. I also love what you're doing. And we're going to the Tom Ferry Summit in Dallas. Are you speaking at that? We saw that you're a coaching client, and I think I've seen you speak at these before.
So I have spoken.
Usually at the bar.
I have spoken before at Summit. I don't know if I'm going to speak at Summit this year, but I'm definitely going to be there. So I cannot wait to see you guys. And I hope that you will allow me to treat you to my cocktail party or dinner or something.
Absolutely. We'd love
to. Sure. We're going to try and do a party too, right, Eric?
Yeah, we just have an idea. We want to throw like a happy hour or something maybe on the first night, because I think Tom usually has the big party the second night. So we're going to try to figure something out, but those conferences are a blast. And that's how I met, Jason Pantana, Byron Lazine, a lot of these people that you know as well that have recommended you for this, podcast and said, like, if there's one agent to follow, it is Glenda Baker. So.
Yeah,
I can't believe you guys haven't asked me about Zillow.
Zillow.
What should we ask?
Well, because, you know, Byron and I, we always have like a spirited conversation about Zillow. So Fridays are my Zillow days where I'm going to throw shade on Zillow. So right. I have several videos about on TikTok about Zillow. And, you know, Zillow just started their own TikTok account.
Uh-oh.
So they're going to be in your DMs soon. They're in your DMs soon.
What kind of content are they posting? Just house tours or educational?
They are reposting other real estate agents' content.
Classic, of course.
Okay. So in my video, I guess it was two Fridays ago, maybe one or two Fridays ago, I said, when are you going to repost my content, Zillow? Because, you know, I'm always talking about like the Zestimate. And so in Atlanta, they are actually a brokerage. And sit down. I'll tell you guys, I haven't even released the TikTok video on this yet, that they are going to do, they're going to have brick and mortar here in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they've already got 49 agents, 49 licensees under their brokerage here in Atlanta.
I think they
fucking
did that
snakes
too, or they're
snakes.
Starting in Arizona also.
Yeah. So Atlanta and Arizona are junior like headquarters for them. So, yeah. and they're big test markets. So, you know, and I actually was on the Zillow agent advisory board when Zillow first started. So, and I've been buying zip codes from them forever. I don't purchase them anymore, obviously, but I used to. And I did another TikTok video about how I spend anywhere from $500 to $17,000 a month buying Zillow leads. And I spent $1 million and I've made two. So that's a great investment, right?
Yeah.
But if I had taken that same $1 million and invested it in Zillow stock, it would now be worth $6 million. And I wouldn't have had to run around like a crazy person. I wouldn't have had to work with hit it and quit it buyers or anything like that. But the most interesting thing is that they do not spend one penny after the sale closes. All of their money is spent on lead acquisition and not client care. And so I think it's a great opportunity for agents that if you know that there's been a Zillow buyer that has bought, and you can easily find that out, if there's been a Zillow buyer, that's an opportunity to adopt those people because they've probably been abandoned.
Sense.
Wow. I can't believe 49 agents betrayed us and went on the dark side.
You know, I think that there's a place for every business model in an industry. And I think that there's definitely a place for any hit it and quit it brokerage, which is what I like to call it. It's either hit it and quit it or hit it and click it. Because the thing about it is there's always going to be that consumer that wants to do it that way. So I think that there's absolutely a place for them. And I think it also kind of, you know, gets rid of the riffraff in our industry, because the weak agents that can't make it past that, those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 houses a year people, it gets rid of the garden club real estate agent. And I think that it also, for those people that are just like sharpshooters that are SEALs like me, it only makes me more valuable. So I always just look at it like, I think there's a place for every business model. So I'm not intimidated by them or I'm not afraid of them. But I think that as realtors, we need to be able to control the narrative for what their business model is and be able to speak about it intelligently to the consumer. Because if you can't, then you're probably definitely going to become extinct.
Agreed.
I like the idea of finding out the Zillow buyers and then going after them. And, you know, saying like, you're actually going to have a personal relationship with me. We're not going to hit it and quit it. That's a really good strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because think about it. Those buyers will sell that house.
Yeah.
And who knows if Zillow or Open Door or whoever is going to be around when they go to sell it. So it's literally like free money. Just the adoption of those clients. If you're looking for people to adopt into your database, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
No charge for that tip today, guys.
Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of value here. Very inspiring, I will say. I think people are really going to love this episode. You're a complete badass. So cool. I when we go to the conference, I'm going to kind of walk beside you, and maybe I'll get recognized a couple times too, because people are going to be stopping you. So maybe we'll just walk, you know, arm in arm, Eric and I. We'll kind of just escort you around. And
in case there's any Cardo Knights,
people
trying to attack
people,
you,
and then maybe we can get some of that exposure you're getting, because like I said at the beginning, you're a sensation. We love that you came on. Eric, would you like to ask your final question?
Yes. Where can the people at home follow you? It's Glenda with two N's, correct?
It's Glenda with two N's. So I'm the most unanonymous person in the world. It's Glenda Baker, GlendaBaker. And that's everywhere. If you just Google Glenda Baker, you can find me. But Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, all that stuff.
Yes. Amazing. Well, she is a must follow on all the platforms. Go follow her. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Glenda. We really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. I'm so excited to meet you guys virtually. I can't wait to see you in Dallas. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I nearly passed straight damn out when I saw that DM in my Instagram. I was great. Like, are you serious? Like, they want to talk to me? So I was so excited. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And I'm excited to meet you guys in person.
Likewise.
Look forward to meeting you too. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Glenda.
Thanks.